we just thank you and we give you praise and honor. Lord, I come to you with a heart of thanksgiving, thanking you that you're so wonderful. By your stripes, we're healed. And Father, we thank you for all that great sacrifice of your special Son, Jesus, that made this day available. Thank you, Lord, for thy many blessings, for thy faithfulness, that you're continually faithful. Even when we fall off, you're always faithful. You're there with love. You're there with strength. You're there with power. You're there with your anointing. And Father, we just thank you for thy abundant strength, for thy abundant, glorious power. We can't even just express how we really feel, that you're so above every order that we can think about. Father, we give you praise and honor. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, but it is written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that are prepared for them that love God. But God hath revealed them by his Spirit. Yea, the Spirit searches. Yea, the deep things of God. If we was going to take a cross-section of people throughout any modern civilization, they have schools of technical schools, they have schools of all kinds of further learning that makes a individual, boy or girl, that they can achieve life doing a certain what they desire. Like some people are in different trades, different ambitions. But these are accomplished by attending a school, and it helps them later on into fulfilling the call that they feel in their life. A butcher, I don't know how he'd have to have much education, but a lot of occupations take a lot of education. Reading and writing that we take as a, without really thinking about it, but it's a gift. You know, what if we didn't know? Because the Word of God, our words are very special. And our words are to communicate to someone what we're thinking out of our heart. And that's why that I believe that God has put in our hearts that we must be led by His Spirit, because we really don't know all the answers to the hearts of other people. We can sympathize with them, but yet we still can't really know exactly how they feel. We're all unique. We're all individual before the eyes of the Lord. This is the natural way. The natural school is to take great emphasis and study, and that approach will carry you through life. But all these bases that we learn from our minds won't really suffice us in a time when we go through struggles, when we're hurting, because we're made of feelings. We have feelings, but yet we have a mind sense also. So in these schools is feeding the mind. And our senses, we get that through our, what we call our intellect, or part of us. But we feel things. Some of us are prone to be angry. Some prone to be self-willed. Some are prone to be jealous. And I think these are locked in our own makeup, a lot of it. Because the Bible says that spirit of the enemy is in us. So we can strive for a master plan of ourselves, but still we'll end up feeling like we're left out, even though we know so much. Even though we can be like these people invent great things, these cancer people that are working on cancer, all these great minds that we're living in a nation at a time when great knowledge is being given out to people. And I really believe that truly that's what the enemy has seen, because the churches at one time were pretty simple. They believed what the Word said, and they acted upon the Word, and I think maybe that's why that the churches got that reputation, that they were simple people, would come to read something that's simple, and the philosophy of people. But it's been proven that this Bible pretty much is correct in all the avenues that people are even bringing schooling on. The Bible tells how to build a boat. And they say those boat plans work. These things work. They're a guideline that men and women can look toward to achieve. So as time progresses on, I feel that the enemy has taken great delight in putting education, which is great, in the hearts of the Christians. But there has to be, according to God's plan, there has to be a counterbalance of the Spirit. It's a part of God. When you come to God, you can be a non-Christian and still go to school. And you can also be a Christian and go to school. So those are two different that you can do both ways. You can do these other things and be in line with God. You don't have to quit doing it to serve the Lord. You're serving the Lord doesn't connect it basically in what you're doing, because God wants you to be effective where you are in Him. That you just don't have to go off of, well, we're going to go up here on Mount Lass and we're going to camp. I guess in the back of the 1900s, this took place. People who said the Lord was coming, many of them camped, got out to those peaks and that, and they waited for the Lord to come. The Lord never did come. What I'm saying, we don't need to get those kind of extremities where we're feeling beyond, we don't know. We just take it day by day in the Christian world, the same, basically, more so than the people of the natural people. The natural people live through their lives, because I've been around them, and they doing it all from the mind. They're getting an education so they can have a good job. The job has all the benefits. It has insurance policies. It has retirement. It has all these wonderful things that men and women desire. They want a new home when you first married, and that home, you want to replenish it. You want to have a nice stove. You want to have whatever, and you take stoves because one generally wears out for you. You make it through very far. You got to have refrigerators. You got to have these things that we take as commonplace. As Christians, we should start thanking God, and I think that's the difference. Our minds realize that there's nothing, that God was very good to us even when we were a sinner. All these gifts basically are from God. God is the one that created knowledge. All these things that we take for granted, He is the one. He has nothing that escapes Him. He is in all things, was all, and forever will be all. He knows the beginning before the end. You might think this is a very clumsy service today, but I believe it's got a lot to it. It's something that goes in depth. We need to realize that we need to take heed to the things of God to help us to be productive in the things that we do, even the world. And they should blend together. They should not be divided. They should be blended together. I can do a better job as a mechanic or an operator because I know Jesus. Yeah. It shouldn't separate me, and it shouldn't put me in the place that I'm going to slough off from my job because I'm a Christian. I should do a better job because I'm a Christian. I shouldn't say, take things for granted. Well, you know, there's people who believe it. Well, you know, I'm a Christian, so I don't have to have that quite a high a level. No, I think that we need the highest level to be achieved. But in this, we sort of form in our own what we know. And it's put in us as we go to school, that we get in the place of competition. Competition gets to, and you get your sports program. The kids that play ball and the kids that don't play ball. And this is sort of competitive things. Even the parents get pretty competitive. And this is the world trade that there's competitiveness. In towns, there's people that achieve on being the biggest and the hardest and the most talented people. But God overrides all of these things that we make in our mind. They're there, but not to be the leader of our life. And I believe this is correct. God says, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. It's all right to achieve these things. It's all right to go out for more learning. It's all right to seek a higher a plane to do these things. But you can start doing as unto the Lord. And I think that God wants to be, the farther you go, the more that He wants to be included. He will work with us where we are, and He realizes that we grow in grace in the Lord. It seems some of us are very hard-headed, we're very stubborn, and we are sort of self-will, and we don't want to really go out very far at a time. But sometimes, if we keep going out pretty soon, God gets a hold of us. He puts that grip of heaven on us, and we say, oh, Lord, I don't care about all these other things. That gain is not what my heart desires. I know that I wanted time, I wanted to have all these earthly things, but there comes a separation when you say that you love God more. And I believe that's what we grow into. It's a great sphere of great desires. There's multitudes of things out there. It's in the natural. But the spiritual, you know, that's why people say, well, you know, if I go to church one day of the week and Sunday about from 11 to 12, that's enough. Maybe it is to get started. But I've come a time when God wants you to graduate from that's enough to all the much, to all His will. Come seek ye first His kingdom in a depth that focuses more on Him than it does on what you're doing. And God will allow you to grow, because some people think they can't separate. They got that God's over here and God's angry with them because they're over here. No, if you'll seek God, God will make it work. God will be with you through the times of sorrow. He will be with you through the times of your harvest. If you're a farmer, He's the one that gives you the rain. He's the one that gives you that ground, all the ingredients, the sunny days and the right temperatures. God is the one that fulfills your blessings that are available. And we come to a certain, He lets us go to a certain place, but we're mankind and womankind also are to dress the world. God puts us in points that we might achieve certain levels. But we need, like America was built on God. And I believe that that's what God wanted. A nation under God will stand. A nation under the leadership of God the Father, God the Son. But when we start giving over to seducing spirits, wrong issues, then we start losing what we once had. And that once had was it through the simplicity. It was men of old, women of old. They didn't really know the depth and knowledge as we do today. But they believed God and they were simple in their heart. Says, I can trust my God. And God says, that's okay. But what I want to come down to, as we grow so much in knowledge, we get into an intellect situation ourselves, that pride. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. And we get to think of ourselves that we're so mighty, that I understand all things. When really, I don't really understand that much. If I knew the whole world, I couldn't say that I understood to that degree. God is the ultimate leader. And God wants us to change us basically from that to having that, but having Him also. But His overcoming, that He overgrips us in such a way that we tend to let go of what we once had. And He furnishes from then on that is sufficient as we grow in Him. And we grow in the ways He talks to us. He understands. The Bible says, when a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when we become a man or a woman, we would put away childish things. So we start realizing that we need more than what I can do and make in my own mindset. And when you start reading this Word of God, it starts giving you a set on heaven. It gives you a master plan that you can work out your salvation. But the Bible says that even from a child, if you will study this, it even make you wise in all things. This Word of God is sharp. It's a true-edged sword from heaven. It will totally touch us, amend our ways. It'll help us, and it tells some things, pitfalls that come our way. You know, Samson was a great man of God because Samson was chosen by God. Israel was in a hard fix with Samson coming to that land. But Samson started seeing, I think the same thing in us, started realizing that, boy, that he really was somebody. You know, he could just play with those bullets. And he got on their territory. And I think our only sure territory, even having all our education, having all of our lands and all of what we have, Bible says, whatever profit a man, if he gain the whole, what you've learned all your life, and lose your soul, it profits you nothing. And we spend all these total years after years after years, but the one achievement that is a free gift from God. And we don't achieve it based in ourselves. We ask for it, and He grants it to us. And we grow. It's a gift of God that we need to keep working on till the day that He takes us home. Because I believe we can lose it. Because it's like a wonderful ray from heaven. We got to keep our windows open and our antennas up and say, Lord, I love you. I praise you. And I thank you. But you know, Samson, he started wanting to be like the world. And sometimes we want to be like the world. We see the desires of the world. The world's desires are pretty similar to our delights. And a lot of times the Bible says, love not the world, neither things in the world. Any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But we, as children from heaven, that's what we are. God's got a plan for us to go to heaven. He hasn't got a plan for us to go to hell. Right. If we deceive ourselves and the enemy allows that, then we might end up there. But His desire is us to live for Him for eternity. And while we're here, it's not really understood how long we're going to stay. No one understands. No one knows. Right. The second thing, now, I cannot guarantee that I'll be here. Neither can any one of us. That's granted. God keeps granting us time. And that time, hopefully, that our jobs don't interfere with what God has for us. Now, taking jobs, for instance, I believe basically a job for me could not be in Hollywood and what they portray. I could not be a bartender. I could not do some of these issues. And I believe as Christians, there has to be some kind of ground rule somewhere. How, even though we have this great knowledge, and maybe we're just a maybe a secretary, but you know, the company you work for, what actually bear on your, the person because what they're doing, like beer companies and liquor companies, all these things, tobacco companies and all these things, to me wouldn't be a first-class occupation. And I think that we as people realize that, that we want God to help us in choosing a right prescribed occupation for us. Getting back to sort of a crosswork, and I believe that is why the churches are really struggling today also, because they have put ground rules out that forgot that God calls pastors. Because I've known a lot of pastors. They take it as a way of achieving life. Now, the shoe fits, if that's in the vocabulary of the person, they need to realize that God calls us individually. Yes. He calls us for a certain purpose. Samson was called for a certain purpose, to defend for Israel, to be a judge of Israel. Mm-hmm. A great calling was on Samson. He gets out there and starts having his time was spent in the Philistines. You know, when we put our hearts at, that's where our minds are going to be. And our whole will is going to be absorbed where we want to fellowship. If we fellowship with the unfruitfulness of unrighteousness, we'll have a tendency, I don't care how hard we struggle, we cannot solid enough to come against all the things. We don't bend other people. You know, you live too close to sin. I've heard people, my mother-in-law, she said, I know that if I marry John, he's going to get saved. All these years, all he did was get her down in the mully grubs, and one boy has died. Others have been in prison because we don't flirt with sin. We don't make relationships on things that we know in this word we feel that's not what we should do. This is a plan for man that God has a set of rules. As we need the education, we also need to follow rules and regulations. And they're very necessary. But then also, as we grow in the Lord, we see that God wants to come beyond that and come into a place that we're led by His Spirit. For the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This comes to most all people, Christians and unsaved alike. We come to this plan, and a lot of the unsaved, you know, they talk about the Lord, and they think about the Lord, but they say it's way off in the sky up there someplace. It's way far in the distance. They don't even want to think about it. And the Christians basically the same way. They don't even want to put their heart in what's going to take place if God would come. But God said it's serious business. For no one knows the day or the hour, only the Father only. It's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. That's in Hebrews. As appointment for us to stand before God. The Bible says it's fearful to stand in the hands or near the angriness of God. If we're living in sin, it's fearful. Yes. It's very hard for us to stand before God when we have sin in our life, when we've been walking and not where we should walk in the Lord. But God has seen, I believe, very vividly, because the day as Samson lived in sin, but the Lord told me yesterday of this, what we're talking about. Samson died where he was wanted to get that place. He died with the Philistines. He didn't die with his people. He died alienated from his people. He died separated because what we live, we're going to die in it. And that's why it's so critical to bring us to a place that we realize that all these, everything that we do is for a reason that God's not against us. We can go to all the things that can help us to be productive. God understands us. But He wants us also to realize there's a day when we need to start planning that this old man here is not going to live forever. And what you know, it's going to die also, because when you die, your head knowledge will die also.
That's right.
What you have in your spirit will live on forever.
Amen.
The Spirit of God has to be alive. The Spirit of God is the part that we need to move into. It's like a butterfly and the caterpillar. The caterpillar is where you are right now. And we come to a place that we're going to be a better butterfly before, I believe, before we leave this world. We come to a place and we put off the things like a caterpillar. Have you ever seen how they crawl around and how they sort of, you know, they can get tromped on. They get all these things that men and women, we also feel like we get tromped on. But they're like the scum of the earth. But pretty soon they begin, that caterpillar starts coming. And then it flies, and it's a beautiful insect. Yes. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And up at Mount Shasta, they're going toward McLeod. There used to be millions of those things. And I thought about it back then. Well, these are like the children of God. You know, God starts making this beautiful. He starts taking all the ugliness. He starts taking away those desires that I don't want, that I want to live impure. He starts taking away the desires of lust and the pride of life, all these things of impurities. He takes away the desire. The Bible says he talks about the word desire. Desire is something, if we desire something, eventually we're going to find some way to get that desire. And we need to get rid of that word, renounce it, where it doesn't come again, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Yes.
So we have a heart issue that causes us to do things that's beyond, it's the key issue of our whole success or our own regrets. If there's sin in the heart, we have problems. And no one sees this. It's not like going down and taking an efficiency test on how you approved in school. You know, you could take a degree and take all the tests, you come out, you pass them. But this is something you don't pass. God only knows. And you know, this is an area that's all secret to everybody else. So you can have all these other things, and you've won them wonderfully. I mean, you were successful in college. You was really the big shot. You was a master on all these things. But yet we become failures in this area that's in this little heart. This heart that's so, it's wicked. It's a place of darkness without the Lord Jesus Christ. This heart is made to serve God. But in our childhood, when we come, we're grown, we're going up from the first thing in childhood, there's some things and issues that get in our hearts that we don't even know about. They're like impurities. And they're like desires. The Bible says when we spank a child, we break some of these bad spirits. But these are from our own, the fleshly desires stay within us. And sometimes these flesh desires, even with we become masters on all the surroundings, we got us a big home, we've got success, and then this person, like I heard this morning, flew apart, lost his wife, lost his home, went to prison, and I've heard this time and time again. Why is it? I mean, you can be successful in everything, you've been successful, you got a wonderful marriage, wonderful children, one of these wonderful things. You can't complain about nothing, but you're not thankful. And I believe that's the key issue, that we got to learn to be thankful in every state we're in. We've got to be thankful for the little things, the big things, for all the issues that God gives us. And that thankfulness puts a help within our spirit that we start putting out like that water that gets into us, gets rid of the oil that's in us. It starts forcing those bad spirits out of us, that we become cleansed and become a product from heaven. And we can't do this within ourselves. We got to literally work out our salvation. We got to seek God. We got to praise Him. But these little things are so hidden that we don't even understand them ourselves. But they're like a little place that the enemy can get in. Just get a little bitty spot in us, he can crawl in us. Pretty soon we can't be pleased.
Right.
We're upset. Like the man I talked to this morning, you know, you can see he wasn't pleased. But we get that way. We're always frowning. We're always upset. We're not where we should be. When happy, we need that happy heart, the Lord, the merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And it comes back, basically all these things come down to one channel. And the heart is the peace of God that's in here. It's all above, and it controls all of it. It controls because God works in that heart. And if it's not, it's desperately wicked without God. It's desperately, and when it's sanctified by the Spirit of God, it becomes a refuge. It becomes a vessel of praise, a vessel of honor, that you might explore the universe if it need be, that you'll have the glory of God with you. And you might achieve in many areas, but it's God in your heart. You know it's God that's brought you this far. It's God that's carrying you through. It's God that took you through the times when you first started out, when you went to these schools, all these things. It's still God. He has never left you. He will be with you. He will create with you in the right heart a right desire that you will not come. And the curse of this world, the curse that comes on most men and women, we come to a place and we get stagnant because we are not only come to a certain level and we can't go any farther. And through that, the water at our level, it stagnates. And through that, we have no appropriation of God's love with us. We lose that funnel and that foundation and the rock, the solid rock that we stand upon. We lose all these ingredients that God only has in Him. We can figure out all the science that comes upon all the mysteries of this world, but we can't figure out what's wrong with us. We can't understand that if I just hurt a little person, that God doesn't like that. Any of these things that we do as we take them as light, they're the things that keep us aboard floating. They're the things that keep us, our heart, merry. Hallelujah. Have a merry heart. We need that merriness of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He is our foundation. He is the everlasting Father. He knows all, is all, and is above all. And we don't have to even worry about our success. We don't have to worry about nothing because He will keep us through all the times of troubles, through the times of discouragement, through the times of lawlessness, all the failures that we might fail in ourselves. But He's there to help us, to shelter us, to protect us, to forgive us, to sanctify us, to help us to walk holy before Him. And there's a job to be done. It's us. We must work out our salvation with fear and trembling, realizing that we don't need to be desirous of all this vain glory that we're talking about. They can be actually all these things that we think we have to achieve as like vapor, it vanishes. All this great education is vanished when it gets down to the final position. It doesn't really make any difference. If I can make it day by day, I achieve the same thing. If God helps you, He is the reason. He's the season. He is the way maker. He is your Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. He is everything blessed from heaven. And He wants to bless us, keep us, instruct us from heaven. He wants to put a line from heaven that speaks to our heart daily. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And we try to make it so complex, but it's not complex. We beat more of the complex thing than the natural. It's a lot harder getting out there and learning you all these things as you learn. The easy thing is learning God. But the devil wants to come against you and make you feel like, you can't achieve what God's got for you. You know, you might as well quit. And you can't quit. You've got to have a drive in you that says, Lord, I love you. I know. And God expects us to have that in us, that we desire Him more than silver and gold. We desire it more than what we've furnished with by the things that we've lived through the times in our prior lives when we've been struggling. But God wants us to quit struggling, come in that place that we will be achievers from Him. And we'll let go of these hidden things, the things that don't really make any difference. Let go of our wants, our cares, our struggling that we want to do many times for the Lord. I'm going to bring that in now. There's many achievers that work their lives just to become a pastor, and they weren't pastor when they was called. I know them. But they were so terrible in their makeup, most of them, that you had to work with them, hoping that God could finish the work. But most of them never make it. Because they was working out their own human desire. That human desire is human. And we realize that our calling is supernatural. The glory is a supernatural walk. It's a supernatural thought. It's a supernatural joy. It comes from heaven. I have not seen. Oh, hallelujah. It comes started simply this today. But God is here to answer your prayers. God is here to bless you. God is here to help you, that you might stand rigid against the properties that would come against you, that you can have it done all, you're going to stand. Therefore, being justified with God, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lay aside every weight and sin that eases the sense, and help us run that race with patience. Greater is He that's within you, He that's within the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you have strength with God. I talked to Brother Dan just a moment when I left church today. He was talking, and I said, well, you know one thing you can't go is go against God's word. And when you start saying His word and everything, it gets alive. Now unto Him is able to do exceedingly abundantly all we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. We have a landslide of blessings from God. You just start speaking the word, and the word of God just comes along like pillars and pillars of glory upon you. The Lord is my strength.
Oh, hallelujah, for his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf whose hearts is made perfect toward. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I shall forgive their sins and heal them. There is a lot of God wants to back us up with his word. The word and the spirit come together and work together and hand in hand. And that's why God wants us to work together in our jobs where we are. We're still working hand in hand. The spirit of God, yes, rest here, but it's no great thing. God will help you master your job, and you won't need all that soup. You'll need that experience, but God is the caretaker of you as long as you live. And we need his caretaker over us, and we need his undivided attention, because we know our attention is not very, our span is very short. But when God washes over, he wakes you up. He lets you know. He's there as a watchman. He's there. The one will help you. He's like that sentinel that never would go to sleep. He's there to take care of you, to protect you, to guide you, to direct you, to give you loving kindness. Oh, to love you, but no other one can love you. Give that peace that satisfies. Nothing like Jesus. The love of God that's so wonderful, so creative from heaven, that he created in you a love bouquet of love. He gives it to you daily that you might share in his abundant power, his budded resurrection of his glory. Jesus, when he died, he made this all possible through him. The resurrection from Jesus, when he came triumph over death, grave, and hell, he broke the powers of sin. He broke the powers of the devil. He broke the powers that could bring us down. And he says, my people, I've given you power now. I'm going back to the Father. And I sleep when I go away because I have broken the chains of darkness. And you now have the liberty that I will go in you and I shall be with you and I shall guide you in all truth. And I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you, that thou can walk worthy in the lifetime that thou living. And thou might be a glory of heaven, that thy life would shine as a voice from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, being delegated by heaven itself, that you might receive that manifold blessing, that insight that flows upon you forever and ever and ever, and it'll never run away. It's the glory, and you have power if you stay in his covenant over the principality of the earth, the spirit that brings damage to those that do not really love him. You have power. You've got a strength. The anointing, God's here in this room right now in a very wonderful and a very satisfying way. And loving, he loves you so much, he will not hurt you. You know, I thought about, years ago, I thought, well, you know, to being close to the Lord would be like me getting big old, huge snake. But it's not. Oh, hallelujah, God is that loving. The only thing I have to do is want him and let him realize that I can't make it without him. He just loves it when he wants. He can be our dad. He loves it. Oh, he just loves it to take over. That you just ride behind him. He just puts you in that little play car seat. And he just lets you, he'll take care of you. God will just enrich your life. And there's no other than give you that comfort but God. There's no other peace that suffices what God has for us. The wonders of wonders in God. Amen. Therefore, be justified by faith. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ the Lord. There is no separation with God. Oh, hallelujah. He is love. He is glorious loving. And he is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus, the master one that came down from heaven to pay the spotless price that his children could live forever. And the enemy cannot take him. God's put a seal around us. He is one of the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say, O Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress. We can say that because we're under his care. We're under his keeping. We're under his fellowship. We're under his guidelines. And it says, worry not. Fret not thyself, because we're not to fret ourselves. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. You know, when it comes back toward now, when this really fits in. But there's a philosophy going on in the world today that's telling, just like this morning, basically that, you know, you do these things, say good things, basically leave out the part of God, leave out the part of the Holy Spirit, leave out all these things that offends certain people. Well, the enemy has sold them a lie. And he has told them these things, that they'll do these things, that they'll be prospered, and many people come and be to their meetings. Well, I guarantee you, it'll take them down to pits of hell. And they're going to lose this fringe benefits. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The overpowering of God's Spirit is the method that keeps us straight. We have to realize that we're crooked. He takes us straight, the crooked way straight. And without God, our life. eyes become crooked. If I quit today, by the end of this week, my life will be mixed up crooked, and all the hatred will be in it, and it will. God is our strength. He is our pilot. He is our deliverer, and we must not struggle in our own selves. We must not struggle in our own selves. Again, we must not struggle in ourselves. He has paid the price for struggling, and He automatically, we can move to Him. He takes us out of the pits. He pulls us out of the places of despair. We find ourselves commuting and living in places that's unprofitable as Christians. We find ourselves living in unbelief. We find ourselves living in despair. We find ourselves living in dishonesty. We find ourselves in all these awkward positions that we don't even want no one to see that we're there. But God sees us there. And we must realize that, Lord, I love You, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. Now is the time of blessing.
Amen.
I will lift up my hands to Thy name, because Thy loving kindness is better than life.
Yes.
My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down as the green grass. You've seen how the green grass falls down. You can have green grass in your lawnmower. Next day it's all withered. Pretty soon, in a couple days, it's brown. It's dead because it's cut off. And when we cut off anything from the Lord, we become dead. And we need that new life of God. We need that correction from God. God prunes us with His love. But our source is from the Lord. Our source is through the vine. He is the true vine, and we're the branches. Jesus became the orchestrator that we made us, coupled us in with God. And as He saved us, we become coupled in to the vine. We become coupled in to the Spirit of God. And we're no longer alienated. We're alienated from the enemy. And we come joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might obtain the mercies of God, that we might walk in His brilliance and His overcoming power, that we might be overcomers for Him. That we might not be included in the pits of the unrighteous. We be included, that we know that we're included in God's love. Included in His mighty strength, His power, that overpowering strength that goes beyond the descriptions. But God is still not through right now. There is people, bless their hearts, that really love the Lord. But they're being sold a lie. And that lie is that they really can do these things in their own. And God is so blessed by them. That whatever they do is from the Lord. But that's a trick for the enemy. It's not from the Lord. God wants us to seek Him always. And the enemy will always tell, oh, you know, you're just a little far out. But we need to realize that God is our center. And we need to realize that we don't hear any other voice on the Lord. And if we come closer and closer to God, God puts a great shelter, great protection over us. The secret place the most shall abide under the shadow. It says, I will say to the Lord that He is my refuge. He becomes our refuge and my fortress.
Yes.
And He surely does. He becomes our overpower, our shelter, our protection. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knoweth them that trusteth in Him. God is good. He is in help, the present help, the time of need. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. He knows them. He knows us.
Yes.
There's no guesswork about it. God knows us. God's there. It's no accident that you're there. He knows exactly your steps. He's ordered your steps. He gives you that strength. He makes you courageous in Him. Samson started messing around, started playing games. You can't play games with the sin. And Samson's kept, and I feel so sorry for Samson. You know, Delilah, he should have known she was a Philistine. And her heart wasn't for him. She was true to her people. And Samson was to be true to his people. But Samson went down and got in their territory. And when he got in their territory, then he starts sleeping. The Bible says, we're to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than to believe the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the wall of the works of darkness, and let us put on the whole armor of life. And knowing the time, the Bible says, and knowing the time, Samson needed to wake out of sleep. But after he woke out of sleep, his power was gone. And how he must have felt. I thought about that. That'd be just like the Lord coming in the middle of the night and He takes everybody else and we're here by ourselves. My heart would just stop. My heart would just quake. Because I believe that coming is very soon.
Yes, it is.
So then they take Samson down, and they start talking bad about him. They start putting him down. You know, Samson, look at this man. He was a man of God. Look where he is today. They're leading around this little boy, leading him around. Start even grinding the mill. But Samson, something started happening. God so loves us. Even sometimes when we lose our everything, our dignity, that's what Satan wants to do, lose your dignity, lose your self, all that you've achieved all your life, you can go through all the whole life, and then the last days bring you down to a place that you do something foolish and lose that special spot. And then you lose your reputation, and you lose that, through that all the Christian sons. Look where we know he's going to sin. They should, but that's what they do.
That's right.
Bible says, if a brother taken over fault, is overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself less also, thou shalt fall. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to be all above reproach. I don't judge Jimmy Swaggart. I don't judge people like that because God has it all under his hands.
Amen.
And I don't want to be responsible saying judging anything. Bible says if we're judged, if we put judgment, we're going to be judged ourselves. Amen. Judge not that ye be not judged.
Yeah.
So that is the one critical area that Christians cannot do. We cannot judge. We have to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand, but you just give it to you right now. And he says, it's not your reason to understand. He will take you out of it. And he'll say, my child, look up to me. It's don't let that bother you no more. I love you and I care for you. So we see all these hurdles that we have to go through. And sometimes a hurdle like judging. We go through time of wanting to be important. But all these important places, if we're not careful, the enemy can come and we lose all of that. To a place that we lose the respect of our peers, our families. We lose all these. And I see that's the horrible thing about the church nowadays. That I see people, the last hours, it's pretty dim what the people go through if they're saved. But the Bible says there is refuge. God says he heard Samson's cry. And I believe that God made Samson killed more at that time than he did in his whole life. It still wasn't by the will of God, but God used it anyway for him. And I think that's the way life is. God forgives us. And God has a great heart of forgiveness that we can't even understand. You know, I think about my old Holly. But, you know, I forgive her pretty easy. But the Lord really tells me that's how we are. We do things that's dumb sometimes. We get our heads set certain ways, and it's really putting us in a bad place. We're losing our spiritual values. See, anytime we get angry, it doesn't just hurt us, but we lose that connection with God. And we got to make sure that connection stays open all 100% all the time. That we don't do anything to let that connection be anything happen to it. Like you had a plug in the wall over here, and that plug in meant that you was going to have life. You would guard that plug in very thoroughly. If it was hooked to somebody having a respirator or something like that, it's vital for that person. Well, that's our connection is with God. So we've got to maintain a pure connection to keep that connection with God open. Impurities will stop our connection. And unbelief is a great tool that doesn't make it work. So we get into unbelief, we're sinning. And that's a place of, it's really, I know it's hard, but unbelief is a place that we need to really work on because, and thankfulness. The Israel could not enter in because of unbelief and not thankful. And those two ingredients kept the Israel out of the promised land. And it's more spoken about in the first chapter of Romans, more about Romans, about those two issues than all the other issues put together. So these are the areas that we really got to work on is how we believe, how we receive, how we keep it up to date. And there's always something that keeps us on our toes. And this right here will keep us on our toes.
Amen.
But we want to keep that connection open with God continuously. That there's no breaks. That when a break comes, it means no transfer of relationship. So you're maybe missing the connection. And surely if it's when the Lord's coming through the clouds of glory, we might be left behind. So we really need to work out these areas that cause us, and no one knows these issues but ourselves. We have a landfall of things that we can work on that we don't really need to be in the center of of any of self-gratifying work until we come to the place that we can stand accountable to God for some continuance. Understand what I'm saying? God doesn't want you to take on something, and He will give you that opening when He wants it anyway. But we, as God's people, have been trained that, you know, you need to take a ministry because the person is not even saved to the depth that they should be saved. And I've seen them, I won't even tell you anything, but there's pastors who have fled the coop, different wives now, all these situations that a seer could see years ago. I'm just saying this, they had problems, but they wouldn't face that problem. And they thought by them achieving a certain ministry for God that problem would go away. No, it even gets worse. Yes. We need a right heart. That's what would number one. If that's all I can bring to heaven, the right heart, it's a great work. God will automatically let these things. You'll pray for people with a right heart. You'll do things as He suggests. Yes. As He suggests them. God will never force you. He just suggests things to you. He leads you. He guides you. And He is so wonderful. And you got that attitude, He's going to force you? No, He doesn't. That's the old enemy. He'll let you take things. And God says, I haven't even told you to do that. Why are you doing that, my child? Well, I think I thought it would be a good thing. The Lord says, I didn't tell you to do that. I got moved upon here a couple weeks about that. Because I feel that God knows us to move as He says. But the new issue in earth on the churches now, because I've seen it happen week after week, and it's loud and clear. Well, you know, if it wasn't of the Lord, when we wouldn't have it anyway. So it's all the Lord. Everything they're doing is of the Lord. Well, I don't believe that. I believe God has got a real issue that's A, B, C, D, E. It goes in a straight fashion from His mouth.
Yes.
He's not hitting, missing, pecking like, you know, it's just like eagles fly with the Lord. But I'll tell you, the wayward ones are like chickens of pecking order. They peck and they don't never get nowhere. But when you're an eagle, you soar. You just soar from heaven. And you receive a power. The chickens can't. They're down there just pecking away. And they don't get out of their yard they're in, the barnyard. But the eagles get up there soaring. They're up there in heaven. They don't even see. They don't even smell. Well, you know, some of these barnyards are a little bit have an order. And there are the chickens down there pecking and not doing all this thing. And that's as high as they get. But the eagle flies out of that mess. And that's a little bit where we are. God's here to reestablish the church, to bless the church, but it comes by the divine or the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm getting to the main issue now. It is the Holy Ghost. He is the reason. He is the way. And the people have some come against Him, and they say, we will not desire. We don't want Him. But that isn't from the Lord. And I would not want to make that kind of a statement if it's contrary to the Word of God. And a lot of them say they have it when you don't see any move of the Spirit. So that's a lie also. You don't order the Holy Ghost when He's going to speak. That's His department. If He don't want Him, nothing happens. But it should be open to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the reason He has come in this last days that He might furnish His people with blessing. That they could do all these former things that we've talked about today, the education, all these things. But it comes down to the great issue is our heart. He is in it. He says that we are a living epistle sent from God. We have vessels of praise. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He will be in us, not with us. He is in us. He is in us. He's not with us. He's in us. God is real. God is faithful. You know, I was one of the things, of the areas that I found out about 30 years ago that I could depend on what God would tell me. I got to where I couldn't depend on no one, anything anybody said, because it just, I never knew anybody. But God was always punctual, always correct, always knew what things was that I didn't even know. And I found out I could testify, and that's why it's so awkward for me to say, when people say, well, how do you know? Well, God's real. He's faithful. He'll never, and He gives you joy. He gives you peace. He gives you direction. He gives you desires. You know, I was going down to Gridley 2 years ago, I think it was, and it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, going down to Marysville to work. Boy, the Spirit of God was just all over me, and the Spirit of God, I said, Lord, I said, you know, I said, this gas gauge hasn't moved about the last 30, 40 miles. And he said, no, he said, I'm moving along. And sure enough, that car never got that kind of gas mileage ever before, ever since. I don't know how, but God is in the practical. You for at an instant, he can come down and bring milestones of blessing.
Yes.
He can bring in a power, a beyond supernatural degree. He can do things that we can say, I don't believe it. And God says, there it's at. It's there. What did you believe now? Oh, I'm sorry. It must come past. Maybe I wasn't seeing straight. No, you seen right. God does the impossible.
Yes, he does.
And that's the close of, he wants the church to be able to believe in impossibilities. He wants you to believe in great, and I'm talking to myself, that you can believe for great issues as a thing, stuff. He wants you to have great things in his stuff, God's stuff, the blessings of God, that he'll have Spirit of God upon you as old Nick carries that bag, that we'll have God's stuff in our lives, that we'll be distributed in areas that God says, leave it here, that we take off the nature of God, that we put on his righteousness, that we have his desires, we have his will set, that we have in the mind of Christ in us, we become subject no longer in this world, and that we become available to sudden change, and that means heaven's our home. Praise God. The first part is the part that we get so familiar with, and it goes, the Lord showed me this so many times, that he wants to bring us into a place of this sort of, all that, what we, our mindset, we sort of put it back. God still lets us have it. You still remember. You've got a better memory because nothing's clouding up your mind. But your number one key is not what you know, but what he wants to give to you. See? It's not what you have. He says, leave it there. I'll just give you abundant more. You're going to have my mind above what you got. You studied for years, but I'll give you talents above that. That you'll be up greater than you are. There's no ending of what God wants to give to you. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow. What cast all he cares upon him, for he cares, for you. I have come down a little bit on this, but boy, I started first gear, but boy, I got out in overdrive. Boy, glory to God. Father, we just pray for a mighty blessing here this day. We pray that this would go into our innermost cavity of our inner being. Father, we pray that it'll do a work within us that only you can do within us. And Father, we pray that it will suffice the desires that we have in serving you, Lord God, that we'll realize that you want to be with us moment by moment. We might grow one step at a time, but we don't want to miss anything that we should do. Lord God, that we know that you have a purpose every day of our life, that we might grow with thy strength, with thy ability. And I pray, Lord God, that you send your healing touch to this people. I pray for a mighty blessing upon them. I pray for the desires of their heart. And Father, I pray that our desires be controlled by thy Spirit. And Father God, that you would smile upon us and we'd say, well pleased with what we desire. Help our wants to be what you would have us to have. Help us to do thy will, O Lord. Search us. Check our lives in such a special way. Father, we don't want to miss that wonderful day. We want to be ready if you should call. Father, we pray for our activities that we're in this, and the day, this time of the birthday of Jesus. Father, we just pray for these days as far as the next couple of weeks. Father, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And Father, we pray, Lord God, oh, touch your people in a mighty way. We pray for the Gregories. We pray for the churches. We lift up the pastors. We lift up your people. And we pray for them that don't understand us. We pray for a mighty blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen.